How do you build your wealth?
Because I have money invested in the stock market.
Yes, people need more money.
Finance. Do more for your family.
Because I ran out of money.
This is the STA Money Hour on KPRC 950. Brought to you by STA Wealth Management. Honest discussion about financial planning, market analysis, and portfolio strategies.
It's where we are, and that's reality.
When money talks.
Now, the STA Money Hour.
Good afternoon. I'm Max Gaines. Welcome to the weekend. I want to thank everybody who attended our event last night at McCormick & Schmick's. And if you missed out, we'll do one next month as well. Hit the website stawealth.com and check it out. The information is there for you. Quick look at the market. The Dow is down 32 points, 20,949. NASDAQ is up 3 points to 6,052. The S&P 500 down roughly 3 points, 2,385. Oil is up today to $49.22 a barrel. Gold up as well to $1,268.50 a troy ounce. And the rate on the 10-year treasury, the 10-year is trading at 2.29%, a slight tick up from yesterday at this time. And that GDP number that came in this morning is really dismal. U.S. economy grew only 0.7% in the first quarter. That is the slowest pace in 3 years, so that's not particularly good news. But the good news is today is Financial Planning Friday, and our good buddy Scott Bishop, Director of Financial Planning for STA Wealth Management, is your host, as he is on most Fridays, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing to have you here, so let's get on it.
That sounds good. Well, you just talked about the GDP post. I think it was 0.7%. Is that what it was, annualized?
Phew-wee.
Well, you know, it goes back to a lot of what Mike and Luke were talking about in our presentation yesterday, talking about has the stock market got a little bit ahead of the economy, or is it really the thrust of what Trump's doing, where we started to see this big rally north of 10% since Trump was elected back in November?
Yeah. They get this tax thing done. I think that'll make a huge difference. But until that point in time, we have to deal with the 0.7%. The value of all goods and services produced, 0.7%. It's an annualized rate after advancing 2.1% in the prior quarter, according to the Commerce Department that came at the data today.
Well, if the companies aren't growing that much, then they're going to have less income. Therefore, there's less to tax. So it really goes in terms of tax receipts. A lot of times when we're talking about tax reform, we're going to get into this quite a bit today. We're going to hear a lot from the Democrats saying it's too expensive. It's going to balloon the deficits. How can we get rid of our deficits if we lower taxes? At the end of the day, the real question is, where are we going to get rid of these deficits? Is it going to be through tax receipts? Is that going to be done through increasing rates, or is it going to be through growing the economy? I think there's no way at this kind of pace of growth that we had, even if it doesn't go into recession, the economy doesn't go into recession, at this rate of growth, there's going to be no way to turn the deficits around. We have to do it through economic expansion and pro-growth policies. And I think many of the things we've talked about, pro-growth regulation reform, pro-growth, I mean within reason, of course, pro-growth tax policy, those are great things to be able to be done. And normally on these Financial Planning Fridays, we focus on a financial planning area to help each of you learn how to optimize your financial plan. And we also share some questions. And if you have any questions today, go to our website at stawealth.com, ask a question. We're happy to help you if you have any questions based on what we're talking about today. But for today, we've been talking a little bit about it this week, and we talked about it a lot last night at our event at McCormick & Schmick's. But for today, as President Trump is closing out his first 100 days in office, I think it's this weekend, Max, isn't it? The 100 days?
Tomorrow, yes.
Tomorrow. So 100 days in office. Just this week, he rolled out his 2017 tax reform plan. So this week, I think it came out on Wednesday afternoon. So for this week on Financial Planning Friday, we wanted to focus on taxes, just like last week. But instead of talking about specific planning for the year, we wanted to talk about the Trump tax plan, his tax proposal, and to let you know how it may affect you. And most of you have either filed your 2016 return, or you should have, or you filed an extension. But if this new law passes, the way it's framed right now, it could be a very big change for many of you, and many in a very good way. And for some of you, it may be less impactful on your pocketbook and what it means to you cash flow wise. But it's really important for all of you to stay on top of the tax law and how best to plan and reduce your personal tax bite. And don't forget, I talked about it last week. One of my favorite tax quotes came from a 20th century federal judge named Learned Hand. And the quote is, "Anyone may so arrange his affairs that his taxes shall be as low as possible. He is not bound to choose the pattern which will best pay the treasury. This is not even a patriotic duty to increase one's taxes." So for those of you listening to the Trump tax plan trying to reduce your tax bite, and if you're a real tax nerd like me, you've probably been all over this Trump tax announcement. But if taxes make your head spin, it's really important for you to meet with your tax team later this year. Not hasn't to be announced. We don't know what the law is going to say. But meet with them later this year to see how these possible changes may affect you and how maybe to reduce the tax bite. So I'm going to kind of go over real quick, Max, if that's all right, some of the things I want to go over. And then we'll start talking through them one by one, because I think there's a lot of things that all of our listeners here on the STA Money Hour need to listen to. Sound like a plan?
Yes. Tax nerd or not.
Tax nerd
or not.
Well, I mean, taxes affect all of us. What do we know that's sure in life? Death and taxes. I think it was Einstein that said it. I can't remember. But death and taxes. Benjamin Franklin. I think Benjamin Franklin said that. The only sure thing is death and taxes. So for today, I want to let you know what we're going to be covering today. The first thing is I want to go through some of the details so you can understand what to expect from the 2017 tax plan, what it would mean to you if it passed as is. I want to talk about, based on the framework of the plan, who will be the winners and losers. I want to talk about whether it'll pass as is, pass in any form, and if it does pass, whether it'll be permanent. And whether it's going to pass, it's going to be hugely political. We're going to talk about that today. The Democrats are already ramping up their rhetoric about deficits, because we know how much Democrats really worry about deficits all the time.
Yeah, big concern for them.
It's a big concern for them, especially when it's a Republican proposal. I was talking with a friend yesterday, and I was saying, you know, if instead of doing this, they were talking about a $3 trillion infrastructure plan, I wonder if the Democrats would worry about the deficit impact. Well, they probably would if there's a wall in there.
Don't get me going on this Nancy Pelosi commentary from yesterday. I don't know.
Oh, God. Well, I think we should pass the law to see what's in the law of this tax proposal.
Yeah, there you go.
Turn it around on her and figure that out. But it'll be hugely political. And will it be permanent? A lot of people are saying if we can't get the 60 votes in the Senate, it won't be permanent. But remember that, Max. Even with Reagan's 1986 passing of the permanent tax plan, he had a huge tax reform act of 1986 that slashed tax rates from the 40s and 50% down to a top tax rate personally of 28%, and it was permanent because we had the 60 votes. But don't forget, it was only permanent until Bill Clinton changed the law in 1993 and jacked up those rates back up to the 39.6% number.
Yep.
So don't worry about it being permanent. It will be easier for it to be permanent in terms of planning, but it's only permanent until another president in Congress changes it. So let's try to get what we can, because right now, if we're edging towards the far end of an economic expansion, we need stimulus to keep this thing going, a lot like George Bush got from his 2001 tax cut to keep us from falling deeper into a recession after 9/11.
Well, we could get something done on the Republican side if we had the House and the Senate and maybe the presidency. We could get something done.
We
do.
Yeah. But I know all of us, it's going to be really easy to get 60 senators in the flyover states, because I don't think we're going to get any senators in California or New York anytime soon.
No.
So we'll see that. But also on financial planning, since it is Financial Planning Friday, I'm going to talk about how it's going to affect your estate planning. They're talking about a repeal of the estate tax. I'm going to talk about portfolio taxes, dividends, retirement planning, how it may impact your 401k, and also for business owners, big tax impacts. So if these interest you, we'll be talking about these and other issues back on the other side here on the STA Money Hour.
You're listening to the STA Money Hour. Need help with your money? Call Mike and Luke now, 713-212-5950.
I loved my previous life. I had so many things going. I actually... This is more work than in my previous life. I thought it would be easier. I thought it was more of a... I'm a details-oriented person. I think you would say that. But I do miss my old life.
He misses his old life. He thought it was going to be easier. Now as we start fighting for this tax reform, he's going to realize how hard it is. Not even just from the Democrats, though. But he's also going to realize how hard it is for the Republicans, because every single one of these tax simplification things he's talking about, getting every one of these deductions, there's a champion for every deduction, a champion for every single one. So even the Republicans, I mean, you think about, remember when we were talking about in some of the flyover states, some of the red states like Iowa, taking away the subsidies for farmers, doing those things for tax simplification, even if you're reducing the rates. Our congressmen and senators in Iowa aren't going to be really happy if we take away the subsidies for the farmers. So it's going to be a very hard battle. But if you just, Max, if you even take a look at actually what the proposal's called It's the 2017 tax reform for economic growth and American jobs.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds like it's worth fighting for and working hard for.
Well, Trump's getting a lot of heat for those comments. And frankly, in my opinion, why anybody would want that gig, I have no idea. But he wanted it. Now it's his. And that's how it is. And I don't think he should get heat because, you know, Michelle Obama, she wasn't the president, but she was not in the White House 2 months when she was complaining about how she wanted to go back to her old life. So, you know, they all do it.
Yeah.
But
I can imagine getting back. I mean, I think it would be really cool to have the White House kitchen ready for you all day long to be able to cook whatever you want. That would be awesome.
Yeah, but
there's certain perks that you get to have.
Yeah, sure.
But, I mean, gosh.
But you're going into this. You've got to know that, hey, it's not going to be like your past life. But, you know, it's neither here nor there.
It is going to be like your past life, and it's never going to be for the past life because previously to being president, I don't think Obama would have gotten paid $400,000 for a speaking gig.
Certainly not.
And by the way, he should be really up for this tax reform because think about the tax reduction he'd have. Because
I'm sure
he's a small business setup. So that $400,000 today, forgetting about state income tax, would be taxed at about 40%. That's $160,000 in taxes. If it goes to 15%, he's going to save a boatload of money in taxes.
And maybe thank President Trump.
Yeah, that's going to happen, not publicly, I don't think. We'll see how that happens actually there. But one of the things, and we'll talk about it, is when you're in states with high income tax like D.C. is, you're going to take a big hit possibly from a tax standpoint because we may be losing or they may be losing the deduction for state income taxes. So it actually may drive up the tax rate higher for people in those states. But if it's 15% for business owners and if it's 35% for the people, they're all saving money. He's going to miss his Obamacare tax too, which will be nice for him. But again, if this passes as it is, it will be, in my calculation, the biggest individual and tax cut in American history. That's really huge, especially when we're an overtaxed population, because even though the rates are higher than they were under Reagan, the deductions almost don't exist, especially for individuals. But let's talk real quick about what are the goals that he's trying to accomplish. What are the goals that Trump and possibly the Republicans are trying to accomplish? They're trying to grow the economy and create millions of jobs. That's good. They want to simplify our burdensome tax code. As a CPA, I can appreciate that. They want to provide tax relief for American families, especially the middle-income families, and they will get it. It may not be as much as the very rich, but they're going to get substantially reduced income taxes. And we want to lower the business tax rate from one of the highest in the world to one of the lowest. That'll be the ability for companies here not doing corporate inversions to leave this country. It'll be the reverse of that. Plus, there'll be foreign companies that will come here and bring jobs here. That'll be a wonderful thing to happen. So those are the goals. I think they're great goals. And if we take a look at what does it mean next, what does it mean for individual taxpayers? What does it mean for business? And then I want to talk briefly about the process. And once we go through that in this segment, Max, then I'm going to go into a deep dive on who the winners and losers are. And I think knowing who the winners and losers will be important for our listeners so they can figure out what parts of this are going to be important. So they can be the cheering section, hopefully, as this goes through Congress and the law is actually written up as we go through the summer. So, but first for individuals, because everybody pays at least some portion of their income at the income tax rate, the tax relief for American families will really be better for the middle-income family. Let's talk about a few things that are going to happen in terms of simplification and reduction. The first thing is they're going to be reducing the tax brackets from 7 individual brackets that start at 10% going up all the way to 39.6 are going to be reduced to 3 brackets at the 10%, 25%, and 35%. How will that impact everybody, Max? It will really depend on where those brackets start. So if you don't start the 25% bracket until $400,000 of income, that'll mean most of your income would be at 10%. So it really depends where those brackets are until you can figure out where it is. So as these details come out throughout the summer, listen back here to the STA Money Hour, and we'll be talking about that specifically. It will be doubling the standard deduction. The standard deduction for individuals right now is about $6,000, and it's going to be doubling to $12,000. And for married couples, it's going to be doubling to $24,000. So what does that mean for a married couple? It means if you make $24,000 a year, 100% of your income will be exempt from taxes, whether you itemize or not. And then you'll still be able to take charitable deductions and interest deductions on top of that. So these can be huge reductions for the middle class, for the working families of this country. They may avoid and eliminate completely income taxes with that doubling of the standard deduction. That will also simplify because less people will have to worry about itemizing their deductions. Because right now, on average, when people itemize, even if they get $12,000, maybe their itemized deductions gets them up to $16,000, $17,000. So even without those deductions, they'll be able to take $24,000 and then add deductions on top of that. I think that'll be wonderful. It'll make it simple and people will be paying less in taxes. That'll be a boom for our economy. It's also, we don't know what the deal is going to be yet, but they're also talking about providing tax relief for families with child and dependent care expenses. That's been one of those things, Max, that his daughter has been really pushing for. That's one of the things they've been talking about is giving more help for working families. And for those of us that have working families, Max was just talking about having to take care of his kids with his wife out of town, getting a reduction to help us raise our kids, get them through high school, send them to college. That'll be a welcome benefit that we'll be able to see. So that's for the individuals. That's for some of the relief and some of the tax reduction, but even more for simplification. They will be eliminating target tax breaks that mainly benefit the wealthiest taxpayers. And there's a lot of them out there. We're going to go into some of them today.
Contrary to what CNN will tell you.
Well, CNN says no matter what happens, if they reduce the rates, they'll always say it benefits the wealthy. But if you want to get a little bit political, what did Mitt Romney say? Do you remember what Mitt Romney said?
No.
47% of them don't even pay taxes anyways.
Oh, that's right. That's
remember
right.
How he got beaten over the head with that
yes.
one? So if those people aren't paying taxes anyways, they're not going to get a further tax break. And don't forget, people forget this, all the tax breaks that Republicans were able to get through during the 8 years of the Obama administration were all things like refundable, redistributable tax credits to reduce the tax on the low and middle class. So most of the tax reduction we've seen in the last 8 years has gone to them anyways. Not that everyone needs more, but if we want to, I mean, what are we going to do? Give everyone $100,000 of cash and say, here, have a better life? That's not what we're all about in this country either. But if we're taking a look at these things, most of the reductions and breaks that they're getting rid of are going to be coming from the wealthiest taxpayers. The wealthiest taxpayers will be able to get some benefit from the lower rates, but it's not going to be a free lunch. They're also going to lose some of the tax breaks that they like, and no one likes losing tax breaks. It's also going to protect the home ownership and charitable gift tax deductions. I was actually talking today with a charity that I help support, the Houston Holocaust Museum, and they're actually a little bit nervous about how that may impact them from a charitable giving. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, too. They're going to repeal the AMT, repeal the alternative minimum tax. That used to be just for the super wealthy. Now it's trickling into middle America. Repealing that will both simplify and reduce taxes. And they're talking about, once again, repealing the death tax. That's big in financial planning and estate planning. That may or may not happen, but it's not going to be a free lunch. But it will simplify what we're doing. One of the other things from the individuals that'll be big for people that have portfolios outside of IRAs and other investments like rental properties, they're talking about repealing the 3.8 Obamacare tax that really hits small businesses and investors alike. So that'll be a big deal. One of the things that's going to be difficult is it's going to be very expensive to do some of these things, but hopefully we'll get some growth from there, but even more from the business reform. One of the things they're talking about, and I'm not sure if it'll get through at this level, but they're talking about having a 15% business tax rate. Right now, the top tax rate for C corporations, for corporations, the big companies, is 35%. They're talking about cutting it in more than half to 15%, going from one of the highest top tax brackets in the entire world to almost the lowest tax bracket. I mean, we're going to be in the level of Ireland in terms of our tax rates.
Where a lot of companies like to go and set up shop.
Think about if you're listening around. The term corporate inversion has been really big. The Democrats have been shellacking that all going into the 2016 election. And what that was, it would be a company, a big U.S. company, basically doing a reverse merger where it was being acquired by many times a smaller company, say in Ireland. So it was a corporate inversion moving to another country and now saying this Irish company owns the American company and now they're paying a lower tax bracket. If we reduce corporate tax rates here to 15%, there's going to be no economic incentive to do that. We're not going to be shifting income overseas. That'll be wonderful. I'd love to see that happen. A 15% business rate will be great. One of the things they're also talking about, and this is the first time, and I know Mike and I talk about this a lot, he runs the National Federation of Independent Business, the NFIB, for the state of Texas, and they've always been about don't just work for the big businesses, let's work for the small businessmen. Where are most of the jobs created? Not at Exxon. It's small businesses here like at STA Wealth. It's the people that are the bread and butter, the people that have one, two, three employees, the self-employed, the small businesses that have 20 or 30 employees. That's where all the jobs are. The problem is they typically aren't taxed as corporations. They're taxed as pass-throughs. The income goes down to the business owner, and they're talking about levying lower rates on that. We're going to talk about that in more detail. That's huge. And that could allow small businesses like us hire more people, buying more products. It'll be a big boom for the economy and a big boom for tax revenues. They're also talking about changing the territorial tax system to a more level playing field for American companies. They're trying to make sure they are not picking winners and losers. That's different from the border tax adjustment. We'll talk a little bit about that. That is not in this proposal. It's something President Trump doesn't like, but it's something that that Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, does like, so we're going to see where that spills out. We're going to have a one-time reduction, a one-time tax holiday on the trillions of dollars held overseas. That could be huge. If big companies like Apple bring over billions of dollars each and bring them back into America, they can create factories here. They can create jobs here. That could be huge. And what that's going to be, it's going to be a tax holiday where they pay a lot less versus the 35 or even the 15% tax bracket to tease them to bring the business here. We're going to talk about that, too, when we talk about that in a little bit, maybe after this next break. They're going to talk about eliminating tax breaks for special interest. That's big on tax business reform. That's simplification, and it stops the tax code from picking businesses that are winners and losers. Remember back in, what was it, about 2011, 2012, where we had all the Solyndras of the world where they get big tax credits for the Solyndras of the world? That will stop the government from picking winners and losers by eliminating the tax breaks for special interest. But what is this process going to look like? Throughout the month of May, the Trump administration will hold many hearings, many listening sessions with stakeholders to receive their input, and will continue working with the House and Senate to develop the details of the plan that will provide, they believe, massive tax relief, will create jobs, and will make America more competitive, and it could pass through both chambers. So then, with all these tax changes, there's going to be winners and there's going to be losers. Are you going to be a winner or a loser? Listen when we come back, and I'll let you know. Welcome back to the STA Money Hour in just a few minutes.
The STA Money Hour, radio that's right on the money.
Well, here we're back on the STA Money Hour talking about Trump's tax plan. I promised you in the last segment that we talk about winners and losers. So the real question is, if you're driving around, will you be one of the winners or losers? I believe most of you will be winners, but at least some of the changes may feel like they're painful. You won't know until we see the legislation. But, Max, I was reading Forbes. One of the ladies I follow on Twitter, she's actually a tax attorney. She works for Forbes. Her name's Kelly Phillips Erb, and she had a great article. I think it was yesterday evening that I got through that I really liked. And the title of it was Likely Winners and Losers Under the Trump Tax Plan. I'm going to put in quotes, likely, because we don't know exactly what's going to happen until we see the details. It's basically a one-page summary that we went through in the last segment. But I really believe he wanted to get this into the first 100 days to be able to have something that he's showing in terms of a legislative start. But he made good on his pledge to try to tackle tax reform. It's not an easy thing to do. Many presidents have tried. Many presidents have failed. It even took many years for a popular president like Ronald Reagan to get it done. But on Wednesday, he introduced a sweeping overhaul of the tax code, and despite the broad and ambitious scope of that proposal, it was really short on any details. So we're going to go through what we know based on what was said, and this also goes through a few of the things that were said in some of the follow-up sessions with Steve Mnuchin when he was talking after that. And it was also characterized by Mnuchin as one of the biggest tax cuts in American history. And although the details haven't been finalized, a lot of it sounds really good to me. So without further ado, let's go into the winners and losers. The biggest winners, as a starting point, will be the corporations, the C corporations. I talked about the difference between corporations and pass-through, but most people have heard about the double taxation structure for corporations. Corporations tends to be C corporations, named after the tax code section, subchapter C, in the tax code. And that C corporation, they pay tax on profits at the corporate level. So unlike individuals and unlike pass-throughs, the corporation itself pays taxes. And they pay again when the money is distributed to individuals as dividends. Under Trump's tax proposal, it would lower the corporate rate from the highest rate of 35%, and it will have done it at the entity level for 15%. I was reading an article, Max, that also talked about the average tax rate paid by the S&P 500 companies is 29%. So even for the average, it'll cut their tax bracket in half, and that'll be more earnings that should push up the stock market. We're going to talk about that in one of the follow-up segments about how that will impact the stock market. But if companies are able to keep more of their cash and have higher earnings after taxes, and if company profits or company stocks are based to some extent on price earnings multiple, then the earnings get higher, the prices aren't as sky high as they used to be, and that should be a nice boom for the stock market just with that alone. I think it should be a good way to give good support for the current stock prices and maybe push it up a little bit higher. That's big. And I remember when Obama was talking with businesses, a lot of times he was just talking with the biggest companies. One thing I like about what Mnuchin was talking about on television yesterday is not only will C corporations benefit, also pass-through companies, things like S corporations, things like LLCs, things like limited partnerships. All those structures, they don't pay it at the corporate side. So all people, STA Wealth Management LLC, we wouldn't have the benefit of that. But they're now talking about that the owners of LLCs will be able to have that tax pass through of the earnings of the small companies also taxed to the individuals, not at the personal tax rate like it is right now, but at the 15% as well. That could be huge, but it could also lead to abuse. That's a known abuse. It could start having some business owners, some small business owners saying, I have a very small salary and everything else is business income, and lead to abuse. They've been doing that for years in terms of trying to avoid payroll taxes and things like that. So that's not going to be missed by the IRS. It's not going to be missed by the legislation. It won't be a free lunch, but there will be ways for owners of small companies to be able to keep more of their money. And I'm really, really happy that they're not just looking at big companies, but they're also looking at small companies. Another winner, multinational companies. Under our current system, U.S. companies must pay tax on all profits worldwide, no matter where they're earned. Although there's a lot of wiggle room there, and there's some stuff that we'll see how that works. Right now, as an example, if a company has profits in England, they have to pay taxes in England, and they get a tax credit here in the States, but they have to pay tax on the worldwide income. And under the proposal to this territorial system, I think it's going to be a lot better, but we're going to have to see what that looks like and to see if the House pushes for their border tax, which is not in this proposal, but the border tax will be kind of picking the winners because it'll allow exporters to pay lower taxes than importers. But most likely multinational companies will be able to have that lower tax bracket in the United States and allow them to be able to keep more of their money. Here's one of the big winners, Max. The companies that have money stuck overseas, stashed overseas. Money's really never stuck. When you hear a company say it's stuck overseas, it's really not stuck. It just means that they pull it in and they bring it back to the United States. When those profits are repatriated back to the United States, they have to pay taxes. Right now it's at 35%. We want that cash here because if they have that cash here, they can hire people, they can build factories, they can expand their businesses, and it'll be huge. It'll be a big stimulative effect. What the White House has proposed is a tax, air quotes, holiday to encourage companies stockpiling cash offshore to bring those funds back here to reduce rate. We don't know what that rate's going to be, but the White House hasn't signaled how low it could go. It might say it must dip enough to spur investment and hiring. They could put some rules on it. They could say, if you bring the money back here, we'll charge you 5%, 10%, much lower tax bracket. But you can't use that to just pay dividends to the owners. You can't just use that to have stock buybacks. You can't just use that to enrich the owners of the company. But you have to have something that's actually showing that you're investing in the country here, that you're building plans, building jobs, creating new employees, and all that stuff will be good. A study, and the reason why that's important is there was a study by the Center on Budget and Policy Procedures that showed back in 2004 when they had a tax holiday that was under Bush to try to get money back here. There was $315 billion billion with a B in earnings that were repatriated in 2004. One of the biggest people that did it was Pfizer. Pfizer, a drug company, a worldwide drug company, brought back billions of dollars. But instead of hiring more people, instead of creating plants, they gave a big dividend and a big stock buyback. And at the same time, they laid off 3,500 employees. So I can promise you, if this gets through the House, there's going to be some strings attached. But it's something, if you're a business owner that has money stuck overseas, take a look for it. You could be a very big winner under this to get some of your money back in the United States. I think it'll be a great boom for jobs, a great boom for growth, and it should be something really good for this country. Another winner, we talked about tax simplification. For those of you that are do-it-yourselfers, people that buy tax software like TurboTax or H&R Block, it's hard to do your taxes. It's really hard to do your taxes, especially if you're not an expert in taxes. It's way too complicated. Trump wants it to be less complicated. One of the ways they're doing it is they're doubling the standard deduction. If they double standard deduction, people aren't going to have to itemize as much and keep all those records and try to figure out how to get that into their Schedule A and other parts of their tax return. It'll make it easier to complete it. And they're likely to turn to software. About one in three taxpayers right now itemize. In 2014, the last year where we had complete data, a lot more people were doing it. Now I think even more people will be doing it. That should not affect tax planners, but it could affect the small mom-and-pop shops that are actually doing it in malls and stuff like that, or H&R Block. We'll get to that in a minute. Other winners, tax lawyers and accountants. You're going to want to be sitting with your tax people and try to figure out how to get that. They're going to make money. High-income earners are going to be winners. We'll talk about that when we get back. So we get back, Max, I think what I want to do is I want to hit a few more of the winners and then get to the losers. If you aren't sure where you are, check out on our website at stawealth.com. We'll post some stuff up there too, and we'll be back to talk about the winners and losers of the Trump tax proposal.
Now, back to the STA Money Hour on KPRC 950. Here's Luke Patterson and Mike Smith.
And Mike and Luke are off today, as we are on Fridays, usually Financial Planning Friday. I'm Max Gaines, your host, Scott Bishop, Director of Financial Planning for STA Wealth Management. And we're talking about Trump's tax plan, the winners and losers. Let's take a break from that real quick and go pick up with Larry. Hey, Larry, how are you today?
Okay. I know you're doing a tax theme today, but I wanted to get your thoughts on a bank stock, GNBC. And do you do technical or fundamental analysis or both?
We do both. When we're talking about stocks like that in the banking sector, we've actually reduced our position in banking stocks. They got big run-up because of the Trump tax plan. And when people, after the election, the whole financial sector, as you can see with a ETF like XLF, went way high. We actually reduced our exposure to that. So I think one thing that might be really good, Larry, if you want to get something on the specifics of that, because I want to get back to taxes, go to our website at stawealth.com. Click on there, the question button, put the stock symbol on, and I'll get with Andre even this afternoon, and we'll get back to you with some of the analysis. With individual stocks, we think it's really important if you're looking to buy or to sell to do a look at the technical analysis to see what's happening. The technical analysis typically gives you, is it time, both in terms of momentum, in terms of resistance levels and support levels. But you also want to take a look at the fundamental analysis and get down and see the is the stock highly valued? Is it paying a dividend? What are the insiders doing? We kind of do both of those types of things, also with sector analysis to see if it's a good time to buy the stock. So does that help you, Larry? If you want to go to our website, stawealth.com, click on question. Just say, hey, Scott, check out this symbol, and I'll get with Andre. We can get back to you today.
Yeah, I know they had positive earnings, so I'll go on.
I like positive earnings. Okay.
Thank you.
Take care, Larry.
Thanks,
love your questions. Okay, if any of you have questions and you want to talk to us about taxes, you can give us a call at 713-212-5950. If you aren't able to do it right now, ask a question, or we can get more into the details of how this the Tax Reform Act with Trump may be a winner or a loser for you. Right at the end, I was talking about high-income taxpayers. The high-income taxpayers will get several benefits. Number one, their tax rates will go down if for individuals from 39.6 to 35 at the top tax bracket. And also, we'll be getting rid of the alternative minimum tax. Depending on where your income is derived, that AMT can push you from a low bracket to a much higher tax bracket. And it really will make your taxes simple because the AMT, the alternative minimum tax, is actually a quasi-flat tax that uses its own rules to do the taxes. It's really bad when you think you owe a certain amount, then AMT kicks you up to another level. But that top tax rate going from 39.6 to 35 will help the high-income payers. Also, the other thing they're going to benefit from is hopefully the elimination and removal of the net investment income tax. That's that Obamacare tax where your dividends and interest and rental income is taxed at an additional 3.8%. That's on the chopping block, so winners will be high-income taxpayers. In addition, high-net-worth families. Trump's tax plan, as it's currently listed, would eliminate the federal estate tax. I think that one's going to be difficult to do because if they're trying to get any Democrat buy-in to it, trying to get closer to those 60 votes, currently any individual can leave almost $5.5 million to the heirs and pay no federal estate tax. If you're married, that's over $10 million that you can exclude from federal income taxes. That's a lot of money, and I'm thinking it's going to be very hard to show that that's a way to do it. And if they do it, historically, when they've talked about eliminating estate taxes, it increases capital gains taxes, kind of beyond the scope of what I wanted to get too much into today. But when someone dies, they get a step up in basis, so that low basis stock will now get stepped up to the value at date of death, and that avoids capital gains tax. If they get rid of the estate tax, we're not going to avoid anymore the capital gains after death. So it's pay me now or pay me later, pay me one way or pay me another way. But a winner could be very high net worth families, especially families worth $100 million or more. Those will be winners if we truly do have an elimination of the estate taxes. But if it's not permanent, it's going to make it harder again, Max, to figure out for people to want to get to planning again. Right now, when they've been talking about elimination of estate tax, some people have waited to do their estate planning because they don't know what the tax rules are going to be. Not knowing what the rules are is no reason not to plan. There's still reasons to plan. So let's go into losers now. Some of the losers won't be hitting us in Texas. That's a good thing. But high state income tax taxpayers are going to be hit. One of the things that Trump is talking about doing is eliminating the federal deduction for income taxes that are paid at the state level. At Texas, will lose the state sales tax deduction. But for states like California, states like New York that have more than a 10% state income tax, they're going to be hit kind of hard. People aren't going to like that. So if you're in a high tax state, maybe it's time to move down here to Texas. We like people coming down here and bringing jobs down
and
here.
And they do.
Other possible losers might be the housing industry. Trump's tax plan keeps the mortgage interest rate deduction. That will still be there. But by doubling the standard deduction and removing other itemized deductions, chances are the taxpayers won't be incentivized to buy or maybe even significantly improve their homes. And it's also unclear whether the deduction for real estate taxes would remain. That's not singled out as one of the deductions they're going to keep. So it's possible for those of you in very expensive houses that you may lose your property tax deduction, and that will be somebody that's a loser, and it affects that type of thing. Do we have another call?
Yeah, another call.
Let's take the other call. Who do we have on the phone?
Brooks.
Hey,
welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Hey, question for you. So my wife and I I'm 31, she's 28. We're young, we're trying to save and build wealth. Now, my mother-in-law is CPA, mm-hmm. and she was discussing with me this year around tax season that some of the discussions around her circles, and she's heard some people bringing up the topic of an option to no longer contribute to Social Security. And that piqued my interest. Now, when, you know, Mnuchin and all those guys the other day were talking about the changes to the tax reform, everything, they didn't show very many cards, which I understand why they didn't. What's y'all's opinion? What's the likelihood? What do you think is the outcome? Is there a possibility we could see a Social Security option to just quit paying in and let me handle my own retirement?
Well, there's a couple things that favor against it. Number one, if they truly looked at entitlements and we truly had entitlement reform, that will be the best way to truly balance our budget. No one's looking at doing it. If we can't get repeal of Obamacare and we're having pushback on income tax reform, here's the big problem I see. Remember back, you're a little bit young, but you may remember this, back when Bush was president, they talked about having private Social Security accounts. Do you remember that, Brooks?
Yes.
Okay. That was going to allow people not to avoid contributing to the system, but instead of just picking that Social Security annuity, that's the only option you have, they were talking about allowing you to contribute to an account that you can have that you can leave to your children. That did not pass. So the problem with you saying, I'm going to take care of myself, I love that idea. I'm 49 years old. I'm closer to Social Security than you were, and I would do that, especially if they give me a part of what we put in back. That would be awesome. Here's the problem. Right now, the Social Security Trust Fund, it's not zero, but it's all basically government debt that fills up the Social Security Trust Fund. There's not enough Social Security taxes going in because we don't have enough employees. So if half the employees that are the millennials, the Gen Ys, decided they wanted to stop doing that and paying into the Social Security system, there wouldn't be enough money to pay current Social Security recipients and possibly Medicare recipients. And then it's going to cost more debt and more deficits to pay existing retirees. So without reform, that's not going to happen just under this tax plan. Does that help?
Yeah, I understand that position. That it's just from my point of view, that's the generation, two generations before me problem. They can figure something else out and leave me out of it. But
they didn't address it. They've had 30 years to address that problem. Ronald Reagan back in the 60s said, if we just adjust the Social Security problem and make a few changes, it will be very immaterial changes. If we wait much longer, as the baby boomers got older, it was going to be a big problem. So what happens? 60s to 90s to 2000s, the baby boomers have kicked the can. Until the millennials came, that's a big generation. I'm a Gen Xer. We're a little generation. The baby boomers didn't care. The congressmen didn't care because we were a small voting block. You millennials are a big voting block, and I can promise you that you guys do not want to be paying for your grandparents and great-grandparents' Social Security, and to pay for that have to even increase further the Social Security tax and payroll tax that you're paying. There's going to be some pay-fors, and everyone's going to want to see the people receiving the benefit with some of the pay-fors. And so I feel your pain, and I think what you're saying is very rational, but we have to be able to do it without breaking the bank. So people are going to have to sit down and actually think logically, and I can't remember the last time the politicians said anything that was logical.
All right, guys. Thanks.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, Brooks.
Okay, Brooks, great question, and that's one of the losers are going to be the millennials, not related to Trump's tax plan, but they're going to be supporting the baby boomers as they retire in bigger numbers every single day. We just talked about the losers.
Brooks is right. The boomers have screwed up everything.
Yeah, they did. I can say that because I'm an older Gen Xer. I'm not a baby boomer. So I can say, darn it, the people before me screwed up everything.
Yeah.
And I'm not even saying anything to my parents because they were a little bit older than the baby boomers. So I'm not affecting anybody in my immediate family by saying that.
Well, I'm a boomer, and I apologize to Brooks.
Yeah, I don't think it was your fault. I think it was a lot of politicians. If we have, 500 congressmen, there's a series of many thousands of congressmen over the last 50 years that screwed it up for Brooks and for many of his friends.
Shame on them.
Okay, let's talk about some more of the losers. Charities, I talked about that. Charities are worried about with lower tax rates and with no itemized deductions further, other than the charitable deduction, there's going to be people less inclined to give more to charity, especially with the doubling of the standard deduction. So charities are very nervous about that. Don't worry, charities. I'm already coming up with some strategies to be able to help you. If you want to worry about that, go to our website at stawealth.com, click on the question, and say, hey, I'm a charity. How can you help me? And we'll get back with you and be able to help you with that. Here's another person that's really going to get burned, and this is really going to be people like outside salespeople that are W-2 employees that are employees. Workers that pay their own expenses are going to get hit hard because right now they can't deduct it because they're employees, not contractors, directly on their Schedule C. They have to deduct it on their itemized deductions under a 2% miscellaneous deduction, which means the first 2% are not deductible, but they can deduct a lot of those expenses. Without itemized deductions, they're going to lose that. I think there's going to be some good strategies for that, so don't worry too much. But that's going to be scary to do that. One of the biggest losers, I think, Max, will be the taxpayers. I alluded to that before. The people with relatively simple returns will have even simpler returns. So the people that go to H&R Block to get the refund a little bit more quickly will not need H&R Block anymore to file a one-page tax return. Those are going to be big losers. And again, those are jobs. Those are going to be people that are outplaced. We're going to have to figure out where to utilize those skill sets go into other industries. But if we get tax reform and tax simplification, we're going to get a booming economy and things will be great. Okay, welcome to the STA Money Hour. We love having you here. We want you to have a great weekend. Have a great weekend.
The show you've been listening to is for entertainment purposes only, and you should consider